and goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hello?
Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. Today I have a new guest. I have Bree Fauché, who is the host of the podcast This Week on the Alt-Right. Bree, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, it's a pleasure having you. And I've been fortunate enough to be invited on your show fairly frequently the past couple of months. It's a podcast that you're able to do live, and then of course people can watch it afterwards. It's streaming and people can write in with questions. Mark Collette is your co-host, right?
Absolutely. Mark and I co-host it, and we stream it through Google Hangouts on my YouTube channel entitled Bree Fauché, and that's once a week on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. And there's a live chat so you can participate and talk about what's going on with other people while the show's going on. So people really enjoy it.
Right, and so in order for people to find it, people might want to find it, or they should want to find it. It is Bree, B-R-E, and then Fauché spelled a French way, F-A-U-C-H-E-U-X.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird, because when you would look at it, it would seem like Fauché. Mm-hmm. But I guess my ancestors were just weird, or they had goofy accents. It was always pronounced to me as Fauché. So, yeah.
Are you, your ancestors Cajun?
I don't think they were Cajun, but they were from Louisiana, like Louisiana French. But the pronunciation to me was always just different than the spelling. I was just like, well, all right.
Okay, well, there are Cajuns there. There are also the Acadians, who had originally been in the St. Lawrence River Valley up in Canada, Quebec, and got expelled for some reason or another and wound up in New Orleans or Louisiana before it became America, before it was part of America. So who knows? But I just want people to be able to find it. So F-A-U-C-H-E-U-X. This is a radio show here. I'll just say you're an attractive young woman. You've got stunning red hair, so when people see that, they'll know they've found the right channel.
Oh, thank you.
I wanted to talk about something that we were talking about on your show. I guess that was yesterday, because it's a Wednesday show. Mm-hmm. And that was this MGTOW movement. This is one of these things, I guess it's been around for a while. I only first looked up MGTOW, it's an acronym, last week. I might have stumbled across it a couple of times without thinking much of it, but it really only came to my attention last week. And then yesterday, yesterday on the show, you were talking about Mark Collette having been in a debate with a MGTOW proponent. He had sent me the link to the debate just the night before. So this is all very, very new to me. For our listeners, what does MGTOW stand for, MGTOW? What does it stand for and what does it mean?
It stands for men going their own way. And to me, it's kind of like on the opposite end of feminism. It's kind of like male feminism, but not really. Or it's kind of a reaction to feminism. Men going their own way is a group of men out there who organize largely online, who have perhaps been burned by a woman in the past, or they've been burned by the court system largely favoring women. Maybe they got burned from HR departments favoring women, or maybe got accused of sexism or something, and they pretty much decided that women, I wouldn't so much say as are the root of all evil, but women are largely the problem, and feminism is the problem. And I think the MGTOW movement started as something good and positive, possibly, where it was men who had perhaps lost their children in divorce court, or who had been hurt by a woman who divorced them just for their money or something. And then this MGTOW movement formed as a way of men to kind of support one another and say, okay, I'm just going to be an independent man who goes my own way. I don't care what society thinks of me. I'm going to do what's best by me. And I can see how in the beginning that would be a good thing for men who are perhaps trying to recover from a relationship gone awry, or from society these days largely favoring women in very unfair ways to men. But over time, it kind of became something toxic, where they're telling these largely young men that women have no other motive in life but to just destroy them. Don't get married to a woman. She's just going to take all your money. She's going to use you. And if you're going to have a woman, just use her for sex and then move on, because all women are out to get you. The system will strip you bare if you ever get a divorce. So just don't even bother with women. And the way I first came into contact with MGTOW and became aware of the movement was I posted a video about gender relations on my YouTube channel, perhaps a little over a year ago, pretty much just saying I didn't like how we're trying to feminize men, and we're calling masculinity toxic. You know, I like my men to be men. I don't think that's something that we should take away from them, and we shouldn't be trying to invade male spaces and feminize them. Let men be men. And some MGTOWs found it, posted it on a forum, and then they just have a way of attacking the comment section, saying the most vile things, like just women brought this on themselves, women deserve what they get, men are going to abandon you, I hope you get raped, just horrible things like that. So I think it probably started as something that was good, like a support group for other men who had been burned by this feminist movement really attacking men, but it just kind of became male feminism over time.
Great. Now, my audience on RBN is probably older than your audience, I would think, based on the people who call in and, the sound of their voice. And so when you're talking about older people, if you're talking about middle-aged people, you're talking about, senior citizens, they're, whatever relationship, male-female relationship issues there are in their past to a large extent, right? I mean, they've been there, and maybe things worked out, maybe things didn't work out. And with a younger audience, so much of its potential, it's in the future. And so, it is different. It's different talking about these things to different audiences. When you're young and your life's in front of you, you have dreams. I think aging is kind of a continual process of trading your dreams for memories. You trade dreams for memories. So young people do have dreams, and that's perfectly normal. And one of the Well, I mean, really, the most important task in life, the most important thing in life, if you look at it for, you know, evolutionarily or historically, it's reproducing. And so the
right.
male-female relationships, they're therefore very important. And I think certainly in Western cultures, maybe in some other cultures, there is an idealism surrounding, you know, the well, we have a monogamous culture, and so you want that mate to be ideal. And some people strike, you know, some people win the lottery and they get somebody ideal. Most people really can't expect that, you know. But what can you expect? I think there's a whole range, and maybe the expectation of the ideal makes the pretty good or the acceptable or the tolerable something that isn't good enough, because you're always striving for that ideal, and the ideal is not likely to come along. You know, and there is a whole range of relationships going from ideal to, you know, okay to tolerable to intolerable and everything in between.
Yeah, I experienced a little bit of that when I was in the dating world, where you kind of have to ask yourself, is this a relationship that I can tolerate? Is it something that's going to maintain being a good friendship and be stable? Or am I looking for something a little bit greater? And I do notice that with a lot of women these days, where they expect to be able to graduate from school, have a $50,000 a year job, and find that CEO who's going to want to marry them and give them an egalitarian type of relationship. I think women are particularly guilty of this, and I don't know what we could really attribute it to, if it's just one factor, but I do see a lot of that in Hollywood and in the TV shows I see girls watching, where they see this really unrealistic thing and that they want to strive for in a relationship. And if a guy is seen to be just slightly below that, even though they're really compatible, they just go on to do the next best thing or look for whatever they consider to be the next best thing, to the point where they're searching forever. And I think that's where a lot of men start to feel a bit gypped, when they can't live up to this unrealistic expectation that women have. They think they're going to get something from, like, a what's that writer's name, Nicholas Sparks or something like that. They think they're going to get, like, a romance novel version of something. And you're fortunate if you do find a really good romantic partner that you can be in a great romantic relationship with and also be best friends. I happen to have that, and I'm very fortunate. But I think a lot of women have expectations out there that men can't realistically live up to, and it's been really toxic to gender relations.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know for instance, in traditional Asian cultures, I shouldn't even say traditional, kind of traditional / modern, the culture that modern Asian societies inherited and to a large extent still maintain, expectations for marriages are somewhat different. I remember a TV commercial in Japan when I was there 30 years ago or whatever. The TV commercial, it was for a product that kept cockroaches out of your drawers or something like that, you know, out of your cabinets. It was a cockroach motel. And they had a lot of women sitting around, and they were there was one who was teaching class, and she had a pointer and pointing to a blackboard, and on it there was the words, you know, put the Roach Motel in your drawers. And then they'd repeat, put the Roach Motel in your drawers. And then for completely gratuitously, there was no need for it, but just to be kind of funny, they repeated another phrase that is, it's kind of a, what do you call it? Kind of a saying in Japan. It's, your husband should be healthy and out of the house. And then they repeat, your husband should be healthy and out of the house. Meaning that, you know, you want to take care of him, but he's going to be at work all the time. He's not going to be around. And that's a good thing. Kind of a different expectation. And these Japan, Korea, I don't know what happened in China, you know, under the Cultural Revolution and communism, but certainly in South Korea and Japan, you had the tradition that still exists. It might not be prevalent, but it still exists, of the arranged marriage. And the idea that, you know, somebody is that other people, relatives or go-betweens, might find somebody, might introduce you to somebody. It's not a forced thing, but this is somebody who is going to be suitable for you, and why don't you just get married? And it still exists.
I kind of strive for something like that, because I've actually heard some Asian friends of mine, and even an Indian friend that I once had when I lived overseas, that she was in an arranged marriage. And I looked at her like, what? That's so old school. That's outdated. And she was like, no, we're so happy. And she explained to me why. And she said, my family knows me. They know my character. They know who's well suited to me. So when I met my future husband-to-be, I relied on my family to think to themselves or to think for me in a lot of ways, this is what would be suitable for me in the future, because they know my character better than anybody. So even though I wouldn't want, per se, an arranged marriage, I can see how that might be valuable for certain cultures when you already have a preconceived notion of what your family expects of you and what would be good for you in the long run. Because I can't imagine, unless you have a horrible family dynamic, that your family would want to set you up with somebody who would be bad for your future. Because largely when we go out to vote and when men go out to do things and build a better world, they do it for their progeny. They do it to make sure that their loved ones in the future are happy and have something better than they had. And I have heard about Asian cultures having that sort of mentality of the men should be out of the house, the men should be out there building and doing things. And I really respect that, because I've heard about Asian women in the sense that they take care of their man. They make sure he's well fed, they tend to the home, and when a man is able to have a strong household, he's able to be stronger when he goes out in the world. And I think that's something that we've definitely lost here in the West. I've had so many friends who were in relationships or who were even married and ended up getting dumped or getting divorced because they couldn't even be bothered to go to the grocery store and get the groceries, let alone cook, for after a man went to work all day long and be pestered by his boss and be chained to a desk all day. And I've always kind of had the attitude of, if my man is out there working all day and bringing home the bread, then I can bake it when he gets home and make a nice place for him to come home to. And that's something that Western women in particular, I've been told, is oppressive. And I do think that it's damaged gender relations in the sense that women see their part as going out and equally being chained to a desk rather than making a good home environment that best suits everybody.
I remember when I was teaching, and I mostly taught political science, but also some economics. And one of my criticisms of economics, the way it's taught now, is it all revolves around GDP, gross domestic product, and increasing the gross domestic product. Anything that increases the gross domestic product is good, and our government policies are all aimed around that. Now, one of the things that does that is if you have it, things only count towards gross domestic products if they involve transactions, monetary transactions for goods and services. Now, if you have women who are staying home and taking care of their children, that is not a monetary transaction. It doesn't count towards the GDP. Mm-hmm. But if they both go out and work, and let's just say their work is, Mrs. Smith going to Mrs. Jones's house and taking care of her children and being paid for it by the Jones family, and then Mrs. Jones going to Mrs. Smith's house and being paid for it by the Smith family, those are monetary transactions. So the women leaving the house and being paid, that increases the GDP. Is that really good for the children to be taken care of by other parents? You know, it probably doesn't. You're probably better off being taken care of by your own parents. So it's decreasing the benefit to society, but increasing the GDP. Now, we have commercials on this show, unlike your podcast, and I think we have one coming up in just a minute, but I want to continue with this thought after our break.
know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus? For a one-time donation to RBN of only $500, it is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Radio with Patrick Slatter and Bree Fauché, and we've been talking about MGTOW, men going their own way, and as a response to feminism. We've been talking about gender roles in the family. I was just talking about the economics. So, you know, there's feminism is a problem, and it's easy to focus on it, but there are a lot of other factors that have been changing, that have been very important in changing the family structure, gender roles. One of them, which I was just mentioning, was the push for women to work outside the house. And so if they work outside the house, they work at an office job or whatever, they're not taking care of their kids. That's something that needs to be done. And so then you have this health, this daycare industry pops up, and it means more money is changing hands, but is society really better off? Are the people involved really better off? In some cases they may be, but in a lot of cases they're not. Your thoughts?
I would agree with that completely. When you look at the history of it, it's a really good deal for the government. If they push women into working, they get to tax them, and that means more taxes going through the system. Right, they profit more from it. But I have seen the downside and an upside to it. I mean, I've worked jobs that I've enjoyed a bit. I do enjoy doing various things that bring me money. I've done some investing here and there. I can be a little bit male brain in that type of thing, and I definitely wouldn't want to be prevented from doing it altogether. But at the same time, I have seen the cons from women being pushed out into the workforce. I used to have a friend who worked, I think it was a long time ago, I think it was in real estate, and she would complain about her job all day long, and we would see each other on the weekend, have a little Netflix marathon, and share a bottle of Chardonnay, and it was only then that she started to break down and tell me how miserable she was having to work all the time, and she was stressed, and she was also having to take care of her kids, and she was also single, so it was extra stress on her there, having to bring in all that money and doing it on her own. So I have seen the ugly side to it as well, where women are told repeatedly, and I was told too, that this will make you happy. Work will make you feel fulfilled. But at the end of the day, as soon as you retire from that job, they're just going to replace your name on that plaque with someone else's, and it'll be as though you were never even there. So you don't really leave a legacy. And when you do have a family, you do leave that legacy of people who adore you, and I think that's something that women have really forgotten. I would never say that women should be just confined to having families. I realize there are people out there, women out there, who may be a bit cold and shouldn't be mothers. I've met quite a few of them. But at the same time, I do recognize that the majority of women are made most happy by having a family, and that's why you see so many of them, as soon as they start having kids, they leave that job. I have seen so many of the friends I had in college and graduate school tell me they wanted to have a career, and the second they got pregnant and started having babies, they left to go be a full-time mother, and their HR department was just like, well, there goes another one, because they know as well as we do that once a woman gets attached, a lot of times they don't want to put them into the daycare centers because, God, those are just a mess. And I believe there have been studies proving that it does really mess up kids in the long run, because you have a bunch of kids screaming for the attention of one overworked daycare worker, and I think the kids experience separation anxiety. So I try to push for my subscribers when I talk about these type of things to realize that the kiddies need the hugs. Give the kids the huggles. You can always do some work from home or get a job after they leave to go to college or something. But when they're in those formative years, I think women are best suited and made most happy by being with them.
Mm. Yeah, my mother was a teacher. She had a career, but when myself and my brother and sister were young, she stopped teaching. And
right.
Once we were in school full-time, then she went back. And you know, that was certainly very...
Right. That's suitable, yeah.
Yeah. Now, of course, that's not always an option, especially not nowadays.
Right.
It used to be in the 50s or 60s that a man working a typical job would be able to support a family. And it's less true nowadays. And there is the need for a lot of families to have both parents working.
Yeah, we need a dual income. Thank you, feminism. It's made it where there's so many, the workplace is so flooded that we need more people to fill those jobs. And suddenly you have to have a dual income just to make ends meet and just to be able to make the rent and pay that student loan debt and make the insurance payment. Mm-hmm. And, get those utility bills paid, and the world just keeps getting more and more expensive with inflation to the point where you have to. I have a couple of friends now who both of them work all day long, and they work opposite shifts where he works nights and she works days, so they hardly ever get to see each other. And they want to start a family, and they can't. And if they were to, they'd have to throw them right in daycare, and they don't want to do that sort of thing. So tragically, it isn't something that's even an option to a lot of couples to have someone stay at home full-time with a newborn, mm-hmm. which stops people who are particularly smart from wanting to reproduce.
Yeah. Well, let's talk more about that after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Thank you. Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
So, Bree, just before the break, you were mentioning that a lot of intelligent people aren't having kids anymore. And this is something that's been noted, in Singapore. They're particularly aware of this. Singapore has perhaps the lowest birth rate in the world. And they're trying to take active measures to get college-educated women to have children. You know, all the pressures that you enunciated, that you listed on the family, you know, time pressures and money pressures. Of course, we have segments of our population that seem to have babies, you know, at a young age, and often many of them, in spite of lack of money. So, you know, we have that as well.
Yeah, it's really sad, and I see it all the time. And aside from the stereotypical reasons you'd want to give as far as, oh, society is so bad, we shouldn't have children, a lot of times it just comes down to the people who are really smart see that they can't afford it, whereas people who have a lower standard of living don't really see a problem with having lots of kids. And I do see that people who tend to be maybe a little bit higher on the IQ spectrum see that, no, if we're going to have kids, it's going to be in the long term. We need to think long term, and we need to be able to afford it. We need to invest a lot of time and energy into them and raising them right and raising them well and making sure that they each have individual attention that they need. And I think that does contribute to low birth rate levels that we see today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is something that's been recognized for a long time. You can think back, 50, 60 years ago, probably 60 years ago, it was probably in the 1950s, and I forgot the author, but there was a book called The Marching Morons, and it was about, well, the problem of having lower IQ people have lots of children and higher IQ have few children. Mm-hmm. If you might have seen the movie Idiocracy, which I think was loosely based on it. Then
I did not see that one, no.
It's probably worth seeing. And then there was, think of, what was it? The Time Machine by H.G. Wells,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, one class had developed one way, another class, you know, higher class people developed a different way. And it was addressing somewhat different issues, but still that you had humanity going in two directions and, you know, one different reproductive strategies. So it's, and if you look on a global scale, you've got this massive population explosion in Africa, and then you've got the European countries, and especially the European people in the European countries, as well as the East Asian people, those who are said to be the highest on the global IQ spectrum, as well as being, you know, responsible, they are having the fewest. And how sustainable is that?
It's not sustainable at all. I mean, if you have fewer people handling the reins and knowing how to, you're going to crash. And it's a thought that does keep me up at night sometimes, wondering, like, we're going to have this flood of birth rates in Africa, and Africa will just explode, and people will leave, and already are leaving with the migrant crisis and everything, to the point where our countries are getting flooded with people who can't sustain those countries and the lifestyle of people who originate there. They come into countries, they can't speak the language, they oftentimes don't know technology well enough to use a computer to be able to run a cash register, or even the simplest of tasks, just based on cultural differences, let alone IQ. So it does something that it is something that keeps me up at night wondering where we're going to be when we have a flood of people who not only reproduce at a rapid rate that isn't really maintainable, but we also have people who aren't able to maintain the lifestyle that we have become accustomed to, because ultimately that means that lifestyle across the board is just going to precipitously decline.
So getting back to MGTOW, in a way, it's a form of people throwing up their hands and admitting defeat almost, right? They're just giving up.
Yeah, it's pretty much men going the wrong way. I'm separating from society. I'm being my own man. And I think a lot of it does come from this attitude of worshiping the individual. I'm my own man. I'm going to go do my own thing. And I do understand that to a degree as far as a man wanting to pick himself up and be a self-made man. Like, I get that. But at the same time, you're not going to get very far by choosing to abandon your women. And to me, it's the most disrespectful thing you can possibly do to your ancestors. They fought and died and conquered and built new things for their progeny. And who are we as a generation to turn our back on all of that and just say, nope, it stops for me right here. I'm not going to have a woman. I'm not going to have a family. It all stops with me because I had maybe this one bad experience with an awful woman who tried to take advantage or strip me of my money. And I do realize that a lot of men have been horribly abused by this system and made me feel bitter, and rightly so. But I think the appropriate response to that would be to try to heal gender relations and bring women back. I mean, women were led astray by feminism. It's true. And men kind of, on some level, let it happen. And we have a responsibility to help bring our women back into the fold of having healthy relations and being respectful of men. And unless men realize that it's going to take them to bring women back into the fold of sanity, so to speak, the problems are just going to get worse. That's why I think MGTOW is not the answer. It's just another poison contributing to the overall problem, and it plays right into our enemy's hands because it keeps men and women divided.
Mm. So here on RBN, myself included, we have a number of hosts who do talk about the Jewish, the corrosive role played by Jewish power in our society. But I'm going to not talk about Jews today.
When I say the word enemies, I use it broadly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I wasn't even following on that. But
okay.
Who was the guy? Wayne LaPierre, the NRA executive director, giving a speech at, I guess, a conservative, was it the CPAC convention? He was using the term a European-style socialist, and then listed off a whole bunch of names of Jews. And I think that's kind of a fun meme, the European-style socialist. And we know that European-style socialists were the main force behind feminism, for instance. You think of
Gloria Steinem. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, Betty Friedan and Bella Abzug. And, of course, they were all European-style socialists, right? I mean, you can check. You can see that when, to the extent they got married by, rabbis in a European-style socialist ceremony, So so there's that. And you think of, there's also a corrosive role played by Hollywood in, promoting a culture of hedonism, right? Or individualism, or individualistic hedonism. And drug use and what's the word for it? Polygamous sex or
polyamorous? Yeah.
Oh yeah, all sorts of everything like that. So we've really been attacked at all angles, and even the economics. And I don't think, and of course, economics as an academic field is dominated by European style socialists.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much of a, how conspiratorial it was, whether these European style socialists were actually thinking, okay, if we can get if we can focus on GDP, it's going to bring the women out of the house and it's going to create problems for, men and women. I don't know if they were really thinking that far ahead. I mean, that's pretty 4D chess, but, or 3D.
Yeah. I've never really bought into that whole theory of a group of people sitting in a small room with their hands in front of their faces, writhing and rubbing their palms together like, ooh, this is how we break down gender relations. This is how we bring down the Western world. I'm sure maybe there are some who think that way, but I think a lot of it is just what comes with having a revolutionary type of attitude where it's just one thing after another. Like, I don't know, maybe in the 50s it was trying to get women more into the workplace, and then it became, they conquered that, so to speak, and they had to go after wage equality. And if they could get that, even though they did and they claim they still don't have it, after that it was, homosexual rights. And after they get that, it's transgender rights. It's always a new battlefield. If they get one, it immediately becomes about something oftentimes unrelated. So it's just like this spiral effect that's never ending. So I never really thought of it in terms of there's a group of people plotting exactly how to tear things apart. I think it's just what comes as an end game of having a progressive or revolutionary type of attitude where you're always going to need a new battleground to fight to the point where there's pretty much nothing left.
Yeah, and there's not a whole much left. There's not all that much left. Just getting back to this MGTOW, how prevalent is it? I mean, how many people consciously think of themselves as MGTOW? How prevalent is this among younger people? Among people in general?
I don't know. I couldn't even give you a rough estimate as far as the number of people out there or a percentage. I know that they do frequent my YouTube channel once in a while. I do know that they congregate on forums where they go on the attack of various women who are, you know, in politics or in YouTube. I've seen them in action doing that. I don't know if I could give you even a rough estimate as far as how many are out there, but I'd say maybe a solid, if I had to give a number, maybe 5 to 10% of my subscribers would tell me that they are MGTOW or they flirted with the MGTOW movement because of the state of society and the fact that they couldn't get a healthy relationship with a woman because most of the women they meet are raging leftists or they want egalitarianism in the relationship to the point where they make both parties equally unhappy. So I wouldn't really say it's like rampant, it's everywhere. Because when we think of feminism, I think the last statistic I read said that fewer than 10% of women in America identify with being a feminist. And I would say, if I had to give a rough estimate, I'd say maybe half that were maybe flirting with the idea of MGTOW, had thoughts going along those lines, just for maybe having been burned from the system. But I have no idea how prevalent it is.
Okay. Well, I mean, I say that because it's something that only came across my radar screen within the past week. But as I was telling you during the break, I remember the very end of 2013, all of a sudden being exposed to the song Gangnam Style. And I was only just exposed to it, but I found, but it was already the number one most watched video in the history of the universe by the time I became aware of it. So sometimes there are pretty important trends that I just completely miss. So I wanted to see about that.
I wasn't even aware of it until I started doing political commentary online. I think the average person out there would be like, MGTOW, what in the world is that?
Right. Okay, I want to move on to something else. So in this world of the alt-right, you do your show is called This Week in the Alt-Right, and there are circles in the alt-right that go a little bit beyond simply being anti-feminist and say a lot of things about paint women with a very broad brush and a very ugly brush. How much of it is just for memes, because we know the alt-right has used over-the-top memes to break down taboos on all sorts of topics. But, some of us, we look at maybe not the people who are originating the memes, but some of the followers as really taking it too seriously. And then one other group that gets painted with a broad brush is boomers. So here you are as a woman, here I am as a boomer. There's a natural response to be very offended. But on the other hand, it's divide and conquer can be used against us. And the last thing we want is to be divided from within. I maintain that, regarding this anti-boomerism, I don't particularly like it, but we need to have a thick skin. It's okay to talk about it, but I don't want to create rifts. How do you feel about when you hear some of what's, really over-the-top anti-womanism, misogyny?
Well, I do see some of it, and I do agree with you that we tend to paint people with a very broad brush, and I do agree with you. We need to have a thick skin about it, because as a millennial, I get a lot of that as well. I mean, we'll criticize boomers, and then I'll get criticized as a millennial, people saying we're the worst generation ever, and then you have the really far fringe of the alt-right of guys saying that women need to just stay out of public life entirely, and we need to clamp down on women completely. But yeah, I do agree that we don't want to create more division. We have enough enemies without having divisions amongst ourselves. And I do think those out there who are being a little bit more fringe and painting everybody, including women, with a very broad brush, oftentimes do it as a provocateur type of thing. And obviously, I don't care for it. I choose most of the time not to respond to it, Because in reality, the majority of men I've met in the alt-right have been very flattering to me and treated me really well. The vast majority of my audience, like something like 85%, is largely male between the age of about 30 and 50. So I don't like to gun for men in particular because they support me a whole lot and they've been overwhelmingly kind to me. I went to the American Renaissance Conference last year and it was mostly men coming up to me saying, thank you for fighting for us. Thank you for taking the risk of putting your face out there and giving a voice to our people. So I agree with you entirely that we do tend to paint everybody with a broad brush, and there are fringes out there who take things a little bit too far. But the majority of people I've met on the right in general have been very respectful and very supportive in what I do.
Yeah, and of course, there are differences between men and women, and it's good to talk about them and understand them. There are differences between the generations. I think of, for instance, I went to China in the 1980s, and it was a pretty closed country. It was just starting to open enough where you could go, but you were never sure if you were actually going to get that visa, if they were actually going to let you in. And I remember hearing that that China had a death penalty for extramarital sex.
I didn't know that.
I don't know if it was true or not, but I heard that. And here's the point I'm making is that in the 1980s, there was no way of confirming that. There was no internet to go to. All you could do is call up the Chinese embassy and ask. And if you open them up and ask, they'd probably never give you a visa.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
we are back. So our last segment, and so there are differences between men and women, biological. So we can't expect men and women to act like each other. They're not the same. And the same with the generations. We grew up differently. When I was young, we didn't have the information superhighway. You know, when I guess President McKinley opened up a new building for the patent office in 1900, he wondered aloud to reporters, why are we opening up a new patent office building? Everything that could possibly be invented already has been. Yet it seems that things are changed. Not only are they changing, but they're changing at a faster rate than ever.
That's so true. I had that conversation just with my fiance last night. Somehow, by some miracle, got him to watch Downton Abbey with me, which is considered to be kind of a chick show because it's a historical drama, I guess you could say. I just lucked out and found a guy who likes that kind of thing. And it takes place at the turn of the century. And we were just having that discussion, like, goodness me, all the people on the show were talking about how, oh my God, we have a radio. This is like a new thing. It's incredible. And if you just think about the inventions from the year 1900 to the year 2000, that was one of the most radically changing times in all human history, with so many inventions and so many new innovative things being brought to the world. And that was a really rapid change. And it makes me think, what are we going to have in this coming century? I mean, We were able to create so much.
Century. I mean, what have we had from 2000 on? So you can look back at 2000, it's almost a different world.
Right, yeah. I mean, we have cell phones now that are practically, they're not just phones, it's a little handheld computer. It's absolutely insane. We have tablets. That wasn't a thing before, and now you can get GPS directly into your phone.
You have YouTube.
YouTube, yeah. I mean, I remember back in the day prior to YouTube when you had to download a video in order to be able to even watch it. And when if you wanted to watch a new movie, you had to go over to Blockbuster. And now you just get a DVD through the mail. And remember the days of having to rewind a VHS tape? So, yeah, just strides we've made just in the last couple of decades alone are unreal. And I'm counting on the day when I had to look to my kids and be like, how does this thing work? Get the kid in the room.
Yeah, so things are really, really fast. And I think maybe if we really did an analysis, the difference between 2000 and 2018, it might rival the difference in people's actual lifestyles between 1900 and 2000. Certainly it would rival between 1900 and 1985, I would think, or 1990.
Oh, yeah. It just gets crazier and faster. It's kind of frightening. I wonder at which point I'm just going to get stuck in a decade and not really learn how to use some of these things. That happened to my mom, where she kind of got trapped right in the computer age as computers were just starting to come out. And she's never been able to really master computers because she didn't learn them throughout school like I did.
Right. Well, that hour went by fast. Bree, thank you for coming on, and I hope that you'll agree to come back again sometime soon.
I would love to. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. And until next time, stay tuned for another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.